Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God, and welcome to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We are one in the Spirit, the Bible says, so welcome. If you're just tuning in online, we have been laughing a lot. I've been telling stories about going to visit my newest grandchild over in North Carolina. And so if we laugh some more, just know we were laughing before we turned this camera on. Anyway, we are in Romans chapter 8. We're continuing our study there. And the theme is resilience. Just want to call us to resilience. You know, as we said, as people keep saying, and yet to see it, but that this year may be a rough year for us in America, financially and, you know, economically, all that just may come crashing down. Who knows what will happen? We do know a balloon went crashing down, right? Did y'all follow the balloon? Right? They shot it down yesterday, right over the Atlantic, right off the coast of South Carolina. It went right over where I used to live in Shelby, North Carolina. Those of you listening to me from Shelby, it went right over your town. There are pictures on Facebook of people, you know, taking pictures of it. So that's about the highlight for America this week, was watching a balloon go from the west to the east coast, right? So anyway, we don't know what's going to come this year. We never know what's going to come tomorrow, do we? So it's important that we as Christians be spiritually resilient, right? And that's what we're talking about. How do we, in our spirit, that new man, that inner man that lives within us, how does that become resilient? What are we looking at? And so Romans chapter 8, just a great verse for that. So let's begin reading in verse 5. It says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." In other words, we can have this resilience, this peace, by being controlled by the Spirit. If we listen to the Spirit, no matter what comes our way today, tomorrow, or this year, or next decade, right, we can be at peace because of the Holy Spirit. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not know how to submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You know, the essence of rebellion in a person's life is the inability to submit to someone in authority over them. You get that right? So when we see rebellious things taking place in the news, that person, in all likelihood, not 100%, but in all likelihood, has never learned to submit to someone in authority over them. And it may be some of those people have never had anybody in authority over them to learn how to submit to. No one's taught them that principle, right? And so when you find yourself feeling rebellious towards something or someone, do a check in your spirit and say, now, am I supposed to submit here? And what is keeping me from submitting here? Is there a record playing in my mind that's telling me some truth, or a record playing in my mind that's telling me some falsehood, right? Process it. Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? You know, that's one of the greatest prayers you can pray. What is the truth here, right? I'm faced with a question. My brain is telling me something. I just want to know the truth. Right? You know, there's great healing, physical healing, and discovering the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. It'll set your body free from something that maybe is making you sick, right? It'll set your soul free from something that's making you soul sick, right? It's amazing what the truth can do in your life. Discovering a truth, the truth for you in a situation, is healing. So don't be rebellious. Just stop and say, I don't feel like submitting right here. What is that going on in my life? What's the truth, God? What is the truth here? Right? It says those who do not submit to God's law, they're not following the Holy Spirit. However, those controlled by the sinful nature can never please God. Right? They just can't. You, however, you listening online, you, however, is what it says, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Right? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you born again. Bible says flesh gives birth to flesh, but it says in John 3, Spirit gives birth to spirit. That's how you are born again. You were born once as flesh, right? Here you are, I can see you. You can pinch yourself, I see you. But you were born again as spirit, right? And it's the Holy Spirit that makes your human spirit born again. So your human spirit becomes a born again, right? Human spirit becomes a born again spirit in Christ, right? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Amen. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. How many obligations do you have? Do you have a mortgage or a rent payment? That's an obligation, right? Do you have a car that needs gas from time to time? Or a truck? He does. Every day. Does he pay for your gas, Tommy? He should, right? Trying to help you out here. Yeah. There's a long story here. We won't go into it on camera. We all have obligations. We have an obligation to stop at a stop sign, not roll through it, right? Although nobody in Tennessee knows that law. No, they don't. They think STOP stands for skid tires on pavement, right? Don't roll through stop signs, right? Stop being rebellious. Don't roll through stop signs, right? But we have an obligation to stop at stop signs. We have an obligation to stop at red lights, right? We have an obligation to stop if we're going too fast and little blue lights come up behind us, right? We all have obligations. The Bible says we have an obligation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. We're not obligated to live according to the sinful nature. That was buried with Christ, right? Our sinful nature was buried with Christ. We'll raise to walk in newness of life without the old sinful nature. Amen. It's not attached any longer. When God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to your old sinful nature. If you keep crying out, God, I've got this sin in my life, I don't know what to do about it. God says, I'm not talking to you about that. That's dead in Christ. I want to talk to you about what are you going to do today in the new nature. He doesn't want to have a conversation with the old. He's done with the old. That's buried in Christ. He wants to have a conversation with the brand new you that's in Christ. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Okay, so raise your hand. How many of you want to die and go to hell? Anybody? Listening online, you can text me later. You want to die and go to hell, right? A man told me one time I was witnessing to him. I was a teenager. He looked at me and said, I'm looking forward to dying and going to hell because all my friends are going to be there and we're going to party all the time. That's what he told me.
Wrong.
not, right? How many of you want to live for eternity in heaven? Right. Okay, everybody raise their hand, right? So you have an obligation. You have a choice. You have a decision. What's it going to be, right? That's what he's saying. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God. The implication is not just male here, okay? It's male and female. Sons and daughters, right? That's the Greek word. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. I'm coming back to that word sonship. But you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The court of law. You're sitting there and you're saying, I think I'm a child of God. I'm not sure. I messed up yesterday, pretty bad. I have these doubts if I'm a child of God. You're in a court of law. And the Spirit comes along and says, Your Honor, yes. He's a son. Yes, she's a daughter. Yes. End of conversation. There's no more debate. There's no more courtroom proceedings. When the Holy Spirit says, you're a daughter of the Most High God, it's it. Right? The case is over. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might also share in his glory. So, what does it mean to have the spirit of sonship? What does it mean to have the spirit of sonship? S-O-N-S-H-I-P. You ready? Okay. Here's something for you to write down. Seven things. Number one, the spirit of sonship is the spirit of strength. Strength. Right? He says, you're not controlled by the sinful nature. You have strength to look at a sin when it comes your way and say, no. No. Right? No. Now, why do we say no to sin? Because committing a sin is one of the dumbest things you can do. Why? Because it's going to send you to hell? No. Remember, that's buried in Christ, right? It's buried in Christ. Your sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. Right? Long way. Why is sin dumb? Because when you sin, you open the door for something else to come in. You open the door a little bit, and then a little bit more comes in, a little bit more comes in. That's why it's dumb. You don't want to keep loading sin into your life, because it just gives Satan an opportunity to come in and mess with your head, and mess with your life, mess with your family, mess with your finances. It just opens the door. So stop sinning. Just stop. You have strength. The spirit of sonship means you have strength to say no to sin. Does that mean you're going to say no to every sin the rest of your life? Probably not. We're going to stumble and fall, right? We make mistakes. We honestly do make mistakes, right? But the next time that sin comes along, you can say, that didn't turn out too good. No. No. You've heard the little story. The man walks down the street, falls in a hole, and he's down the hole. And he looks at it and he blames everybody. It's everybody else's fault that I fell in this hole. Chapter 2 of his life. He walks down the street. He falls back in the hole again. And he looks around and says, I think it might be my fault. I keep falling in this hole, right? Chapter 3, he walks down the street, falls in the hole again. And he says, I'm going to climb out on my own. So he climbs out, right? Chapter 4, he walks down the street and walks around the hole. Chapter 5, the last chapter in the book, he chooses a different street. Right? The spirit of sonship says, I'm strong enough to choose a different street today than I did yesterday. And quit falling in the hole. Second thing, in the word sonship, O, is obedience. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Galatians 4:6. It says, because you are sons of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. Because we're sons and daughters, on any given day, at any given moment, for any given reason, we can ask the question, Holy Spirit, what should I do here? Holy Spirit, what should I do here? You go to work, you got an employee there, and you're trying to figure out, can I relate to them? How can I help them? Holy Spirit, how do I really need to relate to this person? Just ask the Holy Spirit. He will give you instruction. He will tell you what to do. We just must obey. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you want to be a true son or daughter of God, then learn to be led by the Spirit. And the way to be led is to ask and listen. Third thing is the end. It's the new nature. The spirit of sonship is a new nature within you. It says you did not receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Right? You did not receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. And if you remember that passage in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love cast out all fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. And so fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with judgment. And so if you're afraid of being judged, if you're afraid of being punished by God, then you're not walking truly as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You're living in fear. And so what he's saying is, when you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you ain't got to be afraid of judgment anymore. You don't have to be afraid of these things anymore, right? You don't have to be afraid, because judgment is not going to come your way. Condemnation is not going to come your way. Romans 8:1 starts off, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not going to be judged for your sin. You're not going to be condemned for your sin. That's all been taken into Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for us. So he's saying, you now have a new nature. And that new nature is to not live in fear of judgment from God. Fourth thing is the word sincerity. It's a spirit of sonship. There's sincerity in it. We cry out, Abba, Father. In Galatians 4:6, it also says the spirit of his son calls out within us, Abba, Father. So when you're joined to Jesus, it's just not you calling out, Abba, Father. It's the Jesus that lives in you calling out, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit within you calling out, Abba, Father, right? When you don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Spirit is calling out, Abba, Father, within you. There's sincerity. You know, the word sincerity comes from two words, sincera, without wax. Did you know that? From the Greek days, it means without wax. So back in the day, you'd go to the store to buy some plates, right, to take home and eat. And you'd buy a plate. And if you held it up to the sun, you could see if it was sincere. Because looking down on it, if it had a big old crack in it, somebody would just fill that in with wax, right? And they would cover it up, and you would think you were buying a real whole plate. But when you got home and put something hot on that plate, right? And it heated the plate up and it melted the wax, and you picked the plate up and all your food's running out of the hole in the bottom of the plate. So when you would go to the market, you would pick up the plate, you would hold it up to the sun and see if it was sincere. Was it without wax? Right? When we're born again, we're born again sincere. That is, we come to our Father with nothing that's hidden. With nothing that's hidden. We're completely sincere before him. Abba, Father. There's nothing more sincere than a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old who wants to wrestle Bessel, right? Like we were talking about earlier. He wants to wrestle with his papa. Let's just play. There's nothing more sincere than a child at play, right? And the terms Abba, Father were words that babies used. It was the first words that babies used in Jesus' day. Abba, Father, when they called out for their father. Abba, Father. How sincere. When we're born again with that innocent, childlike spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. The fifth thing is the word holiness. In the word sonship, as we're spelling the word sonship, holiness. It says, if you live according to the sinful nature, verse 13, you will die. But if you live according to the Holy Spirit, you will live. You will live. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy, for I am holy. 2 Peter 3:11 says, live holy and godly lives before this wicked world that we live in. We are called to holiness, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us live a holy life. And listen, that's the only thing that can help you live a holy life. It's the only person that can ever help you to live a holy life is the Holy Spirit living within you. Your mama and your daddy, your pastor, you know, the person you listen to on the podcast, they can't help you live a holy life. They can teach you some things, true, but they can't help you live that holy life. They can't stop you in your tracks and say, don't do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God is not slack concerning his promises, but he will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. There's always a way of escape out of any temptation that comes your way. Always. Because God doesn't want you to fall into temptation. Ever. God does not tempt us to sin, right? But when we're about to sin, he shows up and says, this is not the way, Jim. This is not the way. The I in the word sonship is inheritance. It says that we are children and then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Ephesians 1:14, it says he's placed the Holy Spirit in our life as a deposit to guarantee what is to come. Have you ever received an inheritance? Have you? In my life, there have been several inheritances that were coming my way but were stolen because of family members who were very, very wounded and thought they needed it more than the rest of the family. I've seen that happen. I have received some inheritance in my life from things that did come my way, beautiful things, wonderful things that we needed at the time. When Debbie and I were newlyweds, one of my great aunts passed away, and she had left a car for the preacher and the family. I left a car for the preacher and the family. Of all the cousins, I was the only preacher in the fam at the time. It was a really nice, it was a Pontiac Catalina. I mean, it was top of the line back in the day and back in the 70s. And we thought we were somebody driving that car around, right? I think it had maybe 2,000 miles on it, and it was in mint condition. But it was part of an inheritance that I received, right? The Bible says that we are heirs with Jesus. We have an inheritance, and we are co-heirs. So whatever inheritance Jesus is receiving or giving, we get a part of it. Amen. Right? That says that the inheritance we have already received is the Holy Spirit that is a deposit in our life of things to come. When you go buy a house or a car, you put a deposit down, right? Unless you can pay for it outright. Who can do that? You put down a deposit that says, I'm going to take the car and I'm going to make the payments. Right? God puts the Holy Spirit in our life as a deposit saying, there's so much more to come. There's just so much more. You can't even imagine. You can't even dream, think, or imagine what's yet to come in your life. But I'm going to give you a deposit of the Holy Spirit that's going to stay there just so you'll be assured that it's coming. You all are going to receive an amazing inheritance. Some of you are receiving that spiritual inheritance now. And I hope that many of you have received that spiritual inheritance in your life now. It's not just for what's coming, it's for the here and now. And then spiritual inheritance is the Holy Spirit speaking truth into your life. You can't get a better inheritance than truth. And the Holy Spirit speaking to your life and saying, this is some truth I need to tell you. That's an amazing inheritance. And so the spirit of sonship comes with an inheritance factor in it that we receive in the here and now and in the great beyond. Right? And the last thing of sonship, the spirit of sonship, is a spirit of prayer in our life, right? Spirit of prayer. Look in verse 26 and 27 of this chapter. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do you have any weaknesses? One or two? How many? 563. That's a lot. Anybody in here without a weakness? Anybody here listening online without a weakness? The human race, we all have weaknesses, right? Good days, bad days. Good days, bad days. Good days, bad days. Strength, weakness. Strength and weakness, right? Faith, lack of faith. Faith, lack of faith. We all have that. In the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in that weakness, whatever it is, He loves helping you in your weakness, right? He loves helping you in your weakness. He really does. Now, we do not know what we ought to pray for. That's a pretty bold statement Paul's making. You don't know what you need to pray for. Janice, you don't know what you need to pray for. Janice, you don't know what you need to pray for. That's what he's saying. And we want to bow up and say, well, I do know what I need to pray for. The Holy Spirit's going, no, you don't. I don't think so. The Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't. Right? He knows what's going to happen Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and next week, and next year. He knows what's going to happen this year. We don't. We don't know what to pray for, he says. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, when you're at the end of your rope praying and you really don't know what to pray for, just say, Holy Spirit, would you please pray for me? And if you listen, he's going to say, I've already been praying for you. I knew you were going to pray this before it ever came out of your mouth. Because he knows our hearts. That's what the Bible says. He knows our hearts. He knows what troubles us. So in that moment when you think your prayer doesn't get through the roof, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell, right? And it smells like smoke, right? It's a lie. All of our prayers get to heaven. All of our prayers get to the Father's throne, right? Because we're praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. And we are one with the Father, Holy Spirit, and Son, right? We're a one. So your prayers are already there. You are already there. It says in the Bible we're already seated in heavenly places. So when you start talking, you're in the presence of the Father, Son, and the Spirit in the heavenly realms, whatever that means for us. That's a mystery we'll find out one day. But we're already there praying. So the Spirit of Sonship is this powerful prayer partner that you have that's already praying for you before you even open your mouth and ask. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing. What a blessing God has given us that before we even pray, the Holy Spirit's praying for us. That's amazing. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this inheritance that we receive, the Spirit of Sonship. Father, the strength, the obedience, the new nature, sincerity, holiness, inheritance, the prayer. So many more things we can name. Thank you that you've given us the Spirit of Sonship in our lives. Help us to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Help us to trust the Holy Spirit with everything we do in our lives. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being there. Thank you for putting up with our nonsense. Thank you for putting up with us ignoring you at times. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so gentle and generous and giving. Thank you for being so patient with us, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Come, Holy Spirit, now just have your way with us. Just teach us, guide us, train us, direct us, convict us, encourage us. Just come, Holy Spirit, whatever it is we need in this moment, whatever you need to do in our lives this moment, we invite you in to come and do. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak through us this morning to one another and throughout this week. Thank you, Father, for giving us the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Spirit. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For it's in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.